Patriots Friday is brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. By Jaws, perfecting the art of fresh. And by Town Fair Tire. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Twitter at Gresh Keefe.
Great Thanksgiving. And why wouldn't you have had a great Thanksgiving? Gresh and Harden for Keith today. We got you until 2 o'clock before Marloni and Arcan come your way. For Marloni, Foyer, and Mego, the Patriots went to Minnesota yesterday and lost 33-26. We're unpacking that with you at 617-779-7937. Two other games on Turkey Day. The Bills beat the Lions barely. Beat them by a field goal, 28-25, in a game that was much more difficult, I'm sure, than both teams. Well, I know that the Lions went in to make it hard on the Bills, but the Bills are also fighting through some injuries, including to Josh Allen. And yeah, the Cowboys beat the Giants yesterday. And Adam Schefter has a bit of an interesting tweet.
Very informative, I'm sure, because he's an information man.
He is an information guy. He's an information trader.
Absolutely. So what you're about to tell me is going to really clear things up on some subject, because it's information.
Adam Schefter. This is at Adam Schefter with a blue check mark and the, 10 million followers or something like that. Not Adam Schfarter or something like that.
With a blue check mark for $8.99 a month.
Exactly. With eight Twitter followers.
Right.
Schefter tweets, Bills linebacker Von Miller did not tear his ACL.
Ooh, that's a good lead.
But there is other damage that doctors are reviewing to determine how much time he will miss, and for now, he is out indefinitely per sources.
Okay.
He'll be out a couple of weeks. It could be season-ending. More info still being gathered.
Okay, good, because you need more info, because you're lacking some in that tweet.
Now, I know we're still unpacking Minnesota. However, massive for New England next week, is it not?
A week from last night, you will be playing those Buffalo Bills at Gillette Stadium.
Correct.
Thursday Night Football. Yes, that's huge, especially with the Patriots
O-line
still
situation.
Unsettled. Yeah, although for some reason they lose a couple starters against the Vikings and maybe play one of their best games all year.
Yeah, probably a big indictment on the Vikings.
Probably.
It's not the Jets D-line that they were rolling
but
out
they
there.
They got Danelle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith. They got some guys out there that are supposed to be okay. Give them credit. They stepped up right until the end when they started giving up a couple sacks.
Can we just hit that real quick? Third down, the one third down. Like, the Patriots did a pretty decent job of not having those negative plays that set you back. Then again, you get into the red area, and there were two.
Yeah.
One in the first half. Can we break down the reverse call or the whatever you call it? It wasn't a jet sweep.
Oh, no, that was a reverse.
The reverse to Kendrick Bourne.
Hey, the regular stuff hasn't been working, so we shot our shot. We're trying to try a little mix something up.
Sure.
Try something different.
And you do that normally on first down, not second down, so you don't pork yourself on third down.
Well, you know what? If the other team thinks you normally do stuff like that on first down, then the best time to do it is on second down.
Well, there's no trend.
Matt Patricia, chess instead of checkers.
As you just mentioned, though, there's no trends. There's nothing to build off of.
That's true.
They could have done it on first down, and no one would have been the wiser.
Absolutely.
You have sat there and been like, oh, boy. Normally they run those crap plays on second down, not first down. No, but that drove me nuts because of the down and distance. You're at second and seven.
They've been a weird second down team all year.
Well, their first down inefficiency has contributed to that.
Yes. Well, yeah, I don't know that they've been great on any downs all year.
No,
honestly,
true. But they've gone, I would say that of all the years that Bill Belichick has been here, this is the worst team on first down that he has had on offense by far.
Right. And that would tie into the first time he ever had a defensive coach calling plays.
Well, there is that too. So you didn't like the call with Bourne?
No, yeah. I did not.
Not
like
at that
the call.
Time.
I mean, again, you're trying something. He's a playmaker that people have wondered, why is he not involved in more plays? So that's interesting. Like,
well,
you get him
that ship has sailed.
You're right. You're probably right.
He's not a playmaker anymore.
Well, he was last year.
So were a lot of people. Mm. Mac Jones was a good quarterback last year, too. This year, they found a way to F him up.
Well, they found a very simple way.
Well, they did, and it was
bad coaching.
Again, it all ties back into that play caller guy.
Yes.
And then on third down late in the game, the sack that Mac took on third down, which a few people are like, it's on him. You're running a play on third and I think it was, I can look, it was third and eight maybe. And your offensive tackle is trying to cut a pass-rushing defensive lineman. I need some help on that one.
Well, the coach, the offensive line coach, is who?
That'd be Matt Patricia.
Mm, interesting. So I don't know if that's a coaching problem, a communication problem. Something went wrong there, and Matt Patricia some way is involved.
Third and seven, Minnesota 30. Danelle Hunter got the sack. He was the guy that you just mentioned who was working against Trent Brown. And I thought Trent Brown played pretty well overall.
Yeah, yeah. Much better than last week.
But, again, you're not looking to that side for a short throw. Why are you trying to cut the play side?
I feel like this
end?
Is one that Dan Orlovsky is going to have a field day with, that play. Because it just doesn't, it doesn't.
Nothing adds up.
Yeah. And I feel like he'll do a nice video breakdown. He may not have an answer. But is that a communicate? Like, did he not get the play call? Does he think it's a different play? Right. Like, something's not marrying up.
Ten guys did something.
Yeah.
And then he did something that does not correlate with anything that anybody else did in that
and
play.
And I don't think he's going rogue and it's just like, I'm going to do like, but something isn't, there's a disconnect. Like, that's not getting from.
Didn't make sense.
Yeah. So, but again, that's sort of the story of their offense. They have scuffled, but they will not have to face, it looks like, Von Miller. On Thursday night against the Bills, and I think that is that's an advantage for them, whether they have Wynn and Andrews back out there or don't have Wynn and Andrews back out there. And hell, if you get Wynn back out there, I think we now question, where does Wynn play? Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? Is he a left tackle? Is
honestly,
he a right tackle?
Right now, he's probably your, given the way Yadni could just play, he's probably your sixth offensive lineman that would enter the game, and
could
then you go from there.
Or it depends on if Trent Brown does anything they don't like during the week and gets himself benched again. There's just
anything there.
There's a lot.
You got a lot of moles in that building, Hart.
No, I don't think
what
it's,
are you hearing?
I haven't heard a ton, honestly, on that. You know, it was reported that he missed a couple days of practice, and then there was the whole, was he sick? Oh, his sister sent him a package for sickness, whatever. Like, there always is with him. Doesn't it feel like there's always
stuff,
stuff sort of around him, whether it's even the trade deadline when he had that tweet about, like, you know,
he was reacting to the death of the rapper in the bowling alley's name. I'm blanking on
right but like people thought, oh, he's got traded, like, and there's just been a weirdness to him for a while now. But no, that's interesting. And again, he played well, so I think he's your left tackle, but I don't really know.
Yeah, the first two draft picks this year, they got to think long and hard about just going right at the tackle spot.
Well, the thing that has become interesting is there's a bunch of those. I think you could, that's interesting off-season radio. If you just ask people, what do they need to target 1, 2, 3?
Right.
I think you're going to get a lot of different stacks and orders and like, for a while there,
well, everybody wants skill guys first and foremost.
And I think, Matt, you need a Justin Jefferson. You need a go-to guy to make everybody else better. How do you get him?
I would say there are probably 26 teams saying the same thing in the NFL.
Sure, but you need now offensive line help. I think a lot of people were like, you need a linebacker. You missed on Devin Lloyd. You should have taken Devin Lloyd this year. You need that linebacker that can make plays all over the field. Some people will probably say you need a number one corner as you potentially lose, you know, Jonathan Jones as a free agent. If
he's
makes himself
really pretty well this year,
probably made some money and is probably going to get a contract somewhere.
Although he's almost 30,
he is. But if you're a corner that can play in the National Football League,
somebody will give you money.
Yeah, but I do. I think that because the line has been, I think we've all said at some point the line is the root of the problem. Even though Matt Patricia is an issue, the line lack of protection is the root of the problem. Well, you got to fix that. How do you get those guys? You draft them high? Do you need to get a left tackle to pair up with your left guard and try to start to build something? So that's interesting off-season radio coming.
Mm. So you don't agree. You redirected.
Well, you know what I think? I think you need a playmaker. You know, you say 26 teams need it. I don't think as many as you think need it. I think there's a lot of teams that either have or think they have their centerpiece.
Rams like them some Allen Robinson.
They have Cooper Kupp when he's healthy.
But,
team like the Jets, for example, I think they might be thinking Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall are two, like foundational offensive pieces. Who's your foundation? Ramondre Stevenson. I think you want to convince yourself.
Yeah, Ramondre's one of those guys.
Okay, but what about elsewhere? Tight end and passing game. You don't.
Well, again,
haven't heard anyone say Tyquan Thornton in a while.
No. Nope.
Second round pick last year.
No.
Speed burner, fastest guy in the draft, thin wrist. And he's going to make plays.
And I'm sure that the OC will be blamed for at least a little bit of that.
Probably should be.
But I think with the Jets, you mentioned that they have that offensive talent. And you're right. Maybe those guys will be pretty good. But you're never going to know because you're bringing in Dwayne Brown, the rotting corpse of Mekhi Becton that's still laying around. You don't have anybody that can keep anybody upright, so you can't have those skill guys go out and do what they do.
You just love linemen. You're just lineman biased.
No, I think I've watched enough Patriots football this year to realize that when you mentioned about the foundational pieces, you know where they don't have to? At left and right tackle, and it has been a big part of the demise this year, whether you had Jerry Rice, John Taylor, or Jesus suited up at tight end.
I think if you had Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski out there, they'd be a lot better offensively. I think you'd be better in the
really?
Red zone, and you'd have a lot of go-to quick throws that would have been executed.
Oh, so the OC would then adapt if he had those guys? And
that's
you have
another
a different
layer. There's another layer.
Right.
I think we can all agree he's got to go.
Yes.
Forget about whether you need linemen or targets. You need a new guy calling the play.
That should be first and foremost. All right, quickly to Kelly, who's been hanging a bit in Amherst. Hello, Kelly.
What's up, guys? Yeah, so listen, man, we're talking about a lot of the bad plays. The reverse was terrible. I really hated that call. I'm not a Matt Patricia hater. Obviously, he's, you know, got some cons to him. But I'm not just piling on like a lot of people are. I really single out that call as being particularly stupid. But even before they got the ball on that series, I knew they were kicking a field goal because the offense just sucks so bad. You know, it's like if you take the ball, you get an interception. You got, 50 yards on that run back. If he could have taken it to the house, we call that a pick six. But with our pathetic offense, that was a pick three. And you knew it was because as soon as they took the field, you knew they weren't going anywhere. They were close enough that they weren't going to get sacked and lose yardage. So I called that a pick three. I was really heartbroken about that game. Before the game, I said, oh, we don't have a chance. Who cares? And then they teased me. They were so close. And I'm real bummed right now, and I'm pretty much giving up on the whole season. That's where I'm at.
Don't give up on the whole year, Kelly. Good grief.
That seems extreme.
You know, when he said, oh, a sack will take him out of it. No, they found another way to do it without a sack.
Yeah.
It was a poor reverse call.
Yeah, reverse. Same thing, by the way. You lose... What'd they lose, seven yards?
7 yards.
That's about the normal sack distance, right? You lose around 7 yards on a sack.
Yeah, they went from second and seven on the Minnesota 14 to third and 14 on the Minnesota 21. And here's the thing. I think the Patriots are willing to take chances on third and long if they can protect and let the routes open up. But I think what they're starting to figure out is on third down, especially when you're near the goal line area, you got to throw it underneath and take what you can. Like
right.
That completion to Aguilar there was, I think, for like 9 yards, and it made it fourth and four or five or whatever. Whereas I think when it was Mac was holding on to the ball, they're waiting for that stuff to open up. Now I think they're starting to realize, let's manage it situationally a little different. Third and 14, we're not likely to convert. Go get 9 yards, make it an easier kick.
And
that's the smart thing to do. Fans hate it because it's Tom Brady used to bail us out with a, you know, a pencil, a paperclip, and toothpaste on third and 14. And, well, those days are gone now.
Right. And your line was better and your weapons were better and
all
your play calling
stuff
was better. Everything around the quarterback was better as well as the quarterback. But I did think that they got the short passing game going like we've all kind of talked about. Well, if your line stinks, get rid of the ball quickly.
Yep.
And there was a little bit more of that short, quick passing game last night. And then that led to some opportunities a bit down the field, made some plays down the field off of that. So, I don't know, Kelly saying like, give up on everything. Well, Mac threw for 380. Like, I actually thought there was a little bit of a silver lining to the loss.
Shh, didn't you get the memo? You're not allowed to say anything good here about Mac Jones. Wiggy and Shime are going to yell at you.
And I don't even really like Mac, but I try to look at things objectively and say,
it's amazing what happens when he gets protection, right?
He gets a little protection. They get rid of the ball quickly. Guys catch the ball. Guys also run after catch. Like, I thought the Hunter Henry catch-and-run touchdown was a sneaky nice play. The ball was a little bit behind him. He kind of had to turn, catch it, and get upfield. he made a nice play. Like that when guys make plays, it tends to snowball a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
right. You build, confidence.
The Jacoby Myers first throw early was a good throw, was a good catch. Like, okay,
big
you
loss.
Make that play. Yeah. Yeah. If that becomes a thing,
yeah,
that's a loss for this offense that really doesn't have, because last night was strange in that guys that were kind of forgotten, Parker, Aguilar, and even Henry to some degree, were a key part of the passing game. It was like a rehab game where they all popped out like, okay. But if you lose Jacoby Myers, he's the guy that week in and week out usually gets you, your six catches. You know, he's not
that's a max security blanket.
Yeah. And you take those, say, six catches a game away. That's not great, Bob.
I'm with you. 617-779-7937. Here's Jackson ready to trend.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, Thanksgiving Day football is come and gone. Unfortunately, the Patriots could not come away with a win in Minnesota. The Vikings held on to win 33-26. Mac Jones came to play as he threw for 382 with two touchdowns. The Patriots will now have the weekend off and gear up for the Buffalo Bills on another Thursday night game. And those Bills beat the Lions yesterday as Josh Allen drove down the field in a tie game to set up the game-winning field goal with 29 seconds left. And the Cowboys beat the Giants 28-20. The Bruins look to bounce back from their loss to the Panthers in just about another half an hour as they host the Hurricanes today at 1. And the Celtics will host the Sacramento Kings today at 8 o'clock. England and the USA, they play soccer at 2 o'clock. The Revolutionary War continues. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We continue talking to you, unpacking the Patriots' loss in Minnesota next.
It's Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Insta at Gresh Keefe.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Gresh Keefe. Andy Harden for Keefe today. Marloni Foyer and Mego coming up at 2 o'clock. It is Marloni and Arcan on this day after the holiday, although for most it is a holiday. It isn't a formal holiday in that it is on the calendar a holiday, but for most people that work, like us, today is a holiday, as well as Thanksgiving is one.
Yes, but if you're a good employee and you're company man, you're
a good employee
getting the job done today.
Wow.
Right, boss man Ken Laird?
Oh, John Anderson's going to be so upset when he hears that. He's going to be like, oh, see, the Jacksons are a better employee than I am.
Yes.
Hear it now.
Yes, I do.
All right, let's go all the way out to Minnesota and talk to Rob in Minnesota after yesterday's Patriots game. Good afternoon, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys? That was a good game. I was at the game last night. I was actually thrilled that the Cleet Blakeman crew was not going to be officiating that game before we went because I was watching the Giants game. But, I mean, the Hunter Henry catch was definitely a catch. I thought that they got, had to figure out, a rule change for that from the, flashbacks to Dez Bryant and the Jesse James and all that stuff. So I don't know. I think you guys were reading the rule,
yep,
like the actual rule earlier when I was listening to the show. And if it's that it sounded like you guys were reading a dissertation. So I don't know if they were supposed to fix that rule. I think they must have gotten it worse because, to overturn that after it was called a TD, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I think overall my expectations were they probably going to lose a close game. The game was very entertaining, and I'll have to say this, and I want to see if you guys, what your thoughts are on this. I think, for whatever you want to say, I think the coaching, this whole Patricia thing, I know everybody's beating on him, but I think Mac has shown up pretty darn well in the brightest, most primetime situations. You can go back to the game against Tampa Bay, the game against the Cowboys, this game. I thought he played really well. I kind of want to get your thoughts on that, but I thought that given the it was a primetime game, Thanksgiving, that place was loud as hell. I thought he did a pretty good job, and Kirk Cousins did a really good job, too. So I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts were on Mac.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Mac played really well. It was sort of, the first thing you asked me to start the show was, takeaway, and it was, you should feel good about Mac. I don't know how good, But this whole idea that it's funny because I actually got friends that texted me after the game, a buddy. I'm guessing he had a few cocktails, but...
I'm just more amazed you had a friend.
That's a fair point. Touche. I see what you did there. But he texts me right before I'm supposed to go on. He goes, this is the tweet. Mac Jones is not the answer. Happy Thanksgiving. And I thought it was interesting because I came away from that game thinking, we're on an uptick here. You've bottomed out. He went through his struggles, the injury, lot going on through the first half of this year. New offensive coordinator, new off, like everything.
Yep.
And you bottomed out. And now you're digging your way out of the hole. And I thought a couple weeks in a row he hasn't turned the ball over, making some plays down the field. The quick passing game was better. I thought there was a lot to like about the Mac Jones performance in this game.
So Mac Jones, last 3 weeks, he is 71 of 96 passing.
That's
74% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
For 775 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
That seems good.
And I think in 2 of those games... he was dealing with some stuff. Not him, the O-line.
Oh, yeah.
You match up against both those. Again, you now get against Indy. That wasn't a great defense or a great team, but it was
decent.
Still a
good
challenge.
Yeah.
But in dealing with the Jets and everything they threw at them.
Very good defense.
Right, very good defense. And then you're on the road in a loud environment. I think the caller brings up a good point that is very much going to get underplayed, which is the loud atmosphere. And there was no fire drills, it felt like.
Right.
Which it can be whenever it gets real loud. And you're dealing with some new people on the offensive line as well.
And I, early in the year, there was a portion of time there where it felt like he was always on the precipice of a pick.
Yep.
Like it was always in the back of your mind.
Or you were worried about it because there was the lack of confidence look. There was the boy, they ruined him. There is the boy, what idiot route concepts is this OC called?
I haven't seen that the last couple weeks.
No, it's been pretty tight. I thought the play action game was really good yesterday from the play calling on down.
Yes. So
that was surprising.
That's some positive momentum
mm-hmm.
against a bad defense. You said it, the defense lessened, but that's how the NFL works. You're going to face some good ones and then bad ones, and you're going
to ebb and flow. Not everybody is great.
Right, and find a way. So I think it's a weird takeaway to exit that game and be down on Mac. I don't see that. That doesn't resonate with me, but there are people that feel that way, and that's not to say I'm sold on Mac. The opposite. Oh, this is what you're going to get every week or every 2 week stretch is like 800 yards passing and three touchdowns and no picks.
Here's what it is though. It reminds people that when the people around Mac Jones do their job, that he has the ability to do his.
And
I think that's what people forget. It becomes, well, the quarterback is the problem.
Right.
Versus sometimes there are players, and I would say Zach Wilson's one of these, where if everybody around him does their job, there's no guarantee that he is going to do his flawlessly,
right.
Or at least at an acceptable level.
He can absolutely F it up.
This kind of reminds us that, okay, do for Mac what you do for good quarterbacks, and he'll go out there and play well.
And even gave you a chance, I mean, on the Aguilar deep ball diving. Like,
correct.
You had a chance there. That was in play for you to really have a special game and do something special.
And look, that's a tough throw that not a lot of guys make. That felt like it was more of the Brady, Rodgers, high-end guy trying to really drop that thing down into the perfect spot.
Now, maybe this will fall apart at the feet of the Bills defense. Because the Bills defense, though they're losing players, they're also getting Tre'Davious White back, so they're kind of in a transitional pace there. But either way, they're a decent defense, mm-hmm. I would say. Maybe it all falls flat. Maybe he throws 3 picks next Thursday night. I don't know, but... for the here and now, like in this Friday moment after a Thursday night game, you got to be buying on
Mac
Jones.
It's a good reminder.
Right?
Yep. I'm with you. Listen, I've never been out on the guy. I think it's been a lot of stuff going on.
You're a little pro-Mac
Spectrum.
The objective guy in the middle.
I try to be fair. Like when the left tackle gets beat and, you know, all of the doofuses on Twitter be like, well, there's Mac again. That's where you have idiots. Those are the people that I push back against where it's, you know, first play, boy, fumbled on the first play. Well, just sit him. Like, that's the stupid reaction that we've been getting out
there. But the reality is the quarterback position is expected to overcome, is expected to make others' mistakes disappear, right?
Right, that's right.
Just kind of the response. That's why they make a lot of money.
Well, and that's also why there's a lot of turnover at the position.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are not a lot of those guys.
Correct.
Even on good playoff teams right now, you would still be able to pick out the handful of guys that can't fix all of the problems.
And sometimes you can't decide whether those guys are those guys or not. For example, the 2021 draft class where Justin Fields stinks, or maybe Justin Fields is great. Zach Wilson stinks, but oh, Zach Wilson's becoming a game manager. Nope, Zach Wilson's actually benched. Mac Jones great. Mac Jones stink. Oh, is Mac Jones bad? Like, we're still in the infancy of that QB class figuring out who the hell they are.
All I heard was that Trey Lance was going to be an all-timer. That's all I remember.
Oh, he's an all-timer, but it
right.
might be the bust of a trade all-timer.
Thank you for saying that. God, I love it. Tim in Chicopee with Gresham Hart, who's in for Keith. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
So, I don't know. You guys are always, like, you know, watching any sequences of the game, and your commentary on is good. One thing I noticed last night, and I don't know if you noticed it or I'm just on drugs, is there were periods in there where Matt Jones, you could tell he checked off at the line of scrimmage. He's moving around people, right? Took good control there. Made some really good throws. They show it at the bench, and I see Matt Patricia shaking his head, like grimacing, okay, and flipping the card over back and forth. And then there was another sequence. It was right after the touchdown. Jones goes to the bench, and he's sitting there, and Patricia's kneeling down, and you could see Mac Jones just kind of looking off into space, like, I'm not even listening to you right now. And you could see Patricia's like, he must have said, hey, you paying attention? You listen to what I'm telling you? And then he looks down at him and goes, oh, yeah. So I wonder if you noticed any of that, because I tell you, Patricia's the problem. He's ruining the kid. And I'm glad last night that if it was happening – that Jones took this and said, hey, I'm checking off on this junkie sending me out here. So I'd like to hear your take on that.
I don't think he has checked out on Matt Patricia. I think that right now Bill Belichick, unfortunately, is the one that is dictating to Mac Jones that you have to pay attention. You have to listen to this guy. You have to find a way to get along with this Rube. Now, while I think there is a chance that Joe Judge probably keeps his position, I don't think that Matt Patricia will have his position, but he won't be leaving the organization. So that means there'll be kind of the rotting stench of this year's offense. But are they going to find a better play caller for what they've installed this year? Or is it, well, we're good at, like, we're committed to what we have done and we're not going to blow this thing up? And, you know, do they go with a third offense in a third year from Mac Jones because you get a certain kind of play caller? Or is this scheme, let's call it, something that you can hand off to someone who, you know, knows offense?
I think we can be guaranteed it'll be a vague transition. The way Bill handles things and doesn't answer questions, it'll be a vague transition. Part of the beauty of the vagueness going on right now is it won't be an obvious, like, Matt Patricia's your senior whatever and offensive line coach.
Sure.
So you can just have him coach the line next year. And we'll see that he's not calling plays anymore, that he's just coaching the offensive line. And we'll talk about it. But it won't be this, like, oh, wow, he was the offensive coordinator. He did every Tuesday press conference. Like, you won't have as dramatic a transition. Now, the interesting one for me is Nick Caley. I think a lot of people expect Nick Caley might leave if his contract, you know, when his contract supposedly runs out at the end of the year. Is he going to be with Josh? How does that play out? But I do think there will be a different person calling the plays next year. But I would also give Matt credit. If the caller's right and he's
poo-poo face,
yeah, and sort of distant and checked out on Matt Patricia, well, he found a way to make it work. Like, maybe he's hit
there
his
is
stride
that.
Is, I think I know more than that guy. I don't think that guy's a good coach, but I'm stuck with him for the here and now. As I told callers earlier, they're not getting rid of Matt Patricia right now. They're
right.
not getting rid of him this year. So I would maybe give Max some credit for finding a way to make it work. If I do need to audible out of certain things within the confines
within the
of
framework,
his,
right.
like not go rogue and really just start doing whatever the hell I want out there, then maybe I'd give him credit for finding that middle ground to just try to salvage this season for his career, for this team this year.
Quick little update for me in Rappaport on Von Miller.
Ooh.
He re- Rap Sheet also reports Von Miller did not tear his ACL.
Good.
There is concern about a lateral meniscus, though.
Ah.
He's out at least a week or 10 days while he figures it out. He'll have surgery. The question is now or after the season. This is all following the MRI today.
So he will not play against the Patriots, according to Rap Sheet.
That's the one thing we know, and right now in the short term, it's all we need to care about.
And that is good news for Mac Jones and that offensive line.
Very much so. Frank is in Marshfield with Gresh and Keith. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Gresh, how are you? I don't know if you guys touched on it yet, but that Hunter Henry play, is that just an obscure rule? Because that ball clearly went over the line, right? And then, I compare it to if a running back goes around the end and reaches the ball over the plane and then runs out of bounds. That's still a touchdown. They don't consider him out of bounds as he finished the play, right?
So Frank, it's definitely...
That ball clearly went over the...
Yeah, but, no, to your point, Frank, it is... He clearly reached it over the goal line. And normally... Okay. No, but he caught it. He's over the goal line.
But he didn't have full possession. The difference with the running back.
They didn't credit him full possession because they've turned this thing into a Fruity Whip headache.
Well, but that only their decision matters. The difference with the running back is he already possesses the ball. He is in full possession of the football. So the second he crosses the plane, the ball's dead. The play is dead. It's a touchdown. The game, that's over.
But surviving the ground is not in the rule book anymore.
No, but possessing the football is, and they did not give him credit for possessing the football.
They didn't because the rule says we go to secures control of the ball in his hands or arms prior to the ball touching the ground. B, touches the ground inbounds with both feet or with any part of his body other than his hands. And then C, after A and B have been fulfilled, performs any act common to the game. Tuck it away, extend it forward, additional step, turn up field, or ward off an opponent. Or he maintains control of the ball long enough to do so. And then it says right here, the very next thing in the notes, movement of the ball does not automatically result in loss of control. If a player who's satisfied A and B but is not satisfied C contacts the ground and loses control of the ball, it's an incomplete pass.
And that's what they called.
If the ball hits the ground before he regains control or if he regains control out of bounds. So they saw a hand there. They couldn't confirm it touched the ground. It moved as he secured it because even though it didn't touch the ground, which they said is a part of it, and you couldn't 1,000,000% prove that he touched the ground.
I think it touched the ground.
Again, so it's this. He didn't. It didn't. I'm sorry. Look at the hand under there. Can you guarantee it did?
No, but you can't guarantee it didn't.
Then the rule then it stands and it's a touchdown.
But no, because the guy viewing it says, "Oh, it touched the ground right there," and then it moved and he lost control. He never controlled the ball. I think it's an even.
For those who would like an example of what we're talking about, go to my Twitter @TheRealGresh. And look at the Kelce play from earlier this year and look at Hunter Henry's and tell me which one's a catch.
So do you think Kelce, it was a touchdown?
No. If you're going to rule it that Hunter Henry is incomplete.
No. I don't care about
Then Kelce,
pumps.
Kelce's definitely incomplete then based on what they called this.
Those are their rules.
I thought last night that was a catch because Kelce catches one, the ball. Not only does the ball hit the ground on the Kelce thing I'm referring to, his hand hits, the ball slips in his hands, and then it pops out, mm-hmm. and they're like, no, that's a touchdown because he crossed the plane.
But Kelce, I need to go back and watch the Kelce one again. He was reaching for the goal line, right?
Trying to, but
Hunter Henry wasn't. He was just catching the ball.
But he didn't survive the ground, which all these rubes say is a part of the deal, even though it isn't in the rule book.
But for Hunter Henry... For Travis Kelce, the reaching for the end zone is deemed a football play, is part of their whole process of a catch thing. Whereas Hunter Henry,
he caught the ball on the one,
fulfill,
and
right.
he didn't complete the catch to the ground. In fact, it's moving in Kelce's hands.
But he reached for the end zone.
He's reaching.
But he reached. Hunter Henry never reached.
No, the ball's
the ball.
Moving in his hands.
No. But my point is,
reaching.
If they give him credit for
have
the reach,
seen the video?
That's I have. I'm going to watch it again. I've seen it a million times, but. The reach is not a part of the Hunter Henry thing. He catches the ball in the plane of the end zone. He doesn't actually catch the ball and then reach for the
plane. Well, then when he caught it, he's a yard in on the purple, and then it's on the goal line as he's coming to the ground.
Right, but he didn't reach for it.
That,
see, if that happened at the one, well, it isn't a catch because they decided by rule it's not a catch.
But they're the
So the Patriots can think they could have won, but the scoreboard said you lost 33-26.
Kelce catches the ball right at that, like, fictional half-yard line.
Right, and then reaches out.
Not really.
Oh, so then how do you score? How
does
he score?
Look at that. Because you're trying to Zapruder something that you're not looking at.
No. It's exactly what I think it is. He catches it shy of the goal line, turns, and reaches for the goal line.
That's all a part of the play. And again, it's the same thing with Henry.
He's
coming down.
Henry catches it over the goal line and then tries to secure it. So he never reaches for the goal line. There is no football play reach there. That's the difference.
Kelce's doing the exact same thing.
I don't see how you can see it that. You just said he catches it on
the
half-yard
line. And it's
the
exact same thing. His feet are, but his hands are at the goal line.
See, I think he catches it and then reaches as he rolls.
His arms never extend.
So they don't go towards the goal line at all?
His body turns toward
and he
the
reaches
goal line.
For the goal line.
He doesn't extend the arms to show the reach. It's caught in, elbows are bent.
I think he reaches
for
the goal line.
It's the exact same thing.
Well, no, it's definitely not the exact same thing, but it's the comp that
it's
people
exact
are fixating
same interpretation
on.
That the officials would have called it on. They're on the
because the reach is important. What is the football move that Hunter Henry made?
He's catching the ball the same way Kelce did. Kelce does not extend his arms.
Securing the ball is part of it, and then make a move or have the time to
again,
make a move.
Here's the other thing, too. With Kelce, that ball is moving, and when it hits the ground, it pops out. Hunter Henry has it under his hand. That's a huge... Yeah,
I mean, there is a difference here, because I do think there was an opportunity for a possession of the ball at the half-yard line for the Patriots. Not a touchdown. I think they could have given that. Now, I do actually think it's so close, in my opinion. I always think the close ones, just take the easy way out. Stick with the call on the field. Like,
yeah, there wasn't enough to overturn
it. Replay is supposed to be to fix obvious mistakes. Oh, you effed up, but it's obvious. We can all look at it. I think Florio uses the term 50 drunks in a bar would all agree. There's no way 50 drunks in a bar would all agree on this play.
617-779-7937. We're continuing with the Patriots-Vikings game next.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEI.
For those of you on our 103.7 affiliate down in Providence, head to the Odyssey app. That's where you can get us all the time, regardless of what is on down there. And, of course, our network of stations here at WEEI, 93.7 FM in Boston, 105.5 FM in Springfield, Worcester, Cape and the Islands, up in Keefe, New Hampshire, and in the great state of Maine. Bengals rule out Joe Mixon Sunday versus Tennessee because of a concussion. Apparently, the Bengals are going to list Ja'Marr Chase as questionable. He's had a good week, in quotes, of practice.
Interesting. We'll see.
Well, it's worth watching because the Patriots are going to be battling with Cincinnati and the Jets and the Chargers now for playoff seeding.
Probably should mention we do this along the way. If the playoffs started today, again, it'd be super weird because it's a midweek.
Well, that is true.
The Patriots are not in they're the 8 seed right now.
That's
6 and
they
5.
They slid down.
Because the Bengals and Jets are both 6 and 4. Obviously, that'll change.
Yep.
This weekend.
In fact, we will get to some of that coming up. Michael Irvin was a 130 today.
Yeah.
Listen on the Odyssey
app. He likes the Cowboys.
Well, and if you're out shopping and you're doing a honey-do list or something like that, or your honey has dragged you somewhere, that's why you have the headphones and the Odyssey app, because you can be like, hey, I'm going to go look over here and pop it on and be able to listen to us.
And you can hear
Irvin.
Us bicker about whether Hunter Henry caught the ball.
Yes. Let's go to Paul and Quincy on all that with Gresh and Hart in for Keith. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you? I saw some good things last night. I thought they were going to get killed. They went toe-to-toe with one of the better teams in the NFC, so it gave me confidence they can beat a team like Cincinnati or Arizona. The key of last night's game, in my opinion, they had no answer for this kid Jefferson or Thielen. They both had 9 catches. That's 18 catches between two players. The secondary did not have a stellar game. They didn't. They were out of position a lot. I mean, they had no answer for Jefferson at all. Not to mention the running into the kicker was a game changer. But, I mean, that secondary last night, that kid Jefferson looked like Jerry Rice out there. He was just making catches all over the field. Well, you know, I think that was a big key.
He's a Hall of Fame receiver. So.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
I feel confident saying, I know he's only year three, he is a Hall of Fame receiver. He's trending toward a bust in Canton in the next, whatever it is, 15 to 20 years.
So I've just pulled this up, the Justin Jefferson game log for this year. Well, I guess we would then have to say that Green Bay, New Orleans, Chicago, Miami, Washington, Buffalo, and New England, they don't have answers for him either, because Justin Jefferson has 81 catches for 1,232 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they still have 6 games left.
I was going to say, that's a good season.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the reason I bring that up is because my whole theory of the there are good wide receivers, and then there are great and elite guys. Justin Jefferson is elite. And the one, so last week against Dallas, 3 catches on 5 targets, 33 yards. They were down 40-3 and got the hell out of there. Against Philadelphia, 6 receptions on 12 targets, 48 yards. And there was a game that Detroit did a pretty good job against him as well. I don't know if we would necessarily look at Detroit's secondary and then say, boy, we got to go buy that guy in free agency because that's the answer. So the long-winded reason of bringing that up is because Justin Jefferson, more often than not, whether you're a good team or a bad team, like he beat up the Bills and he beat up on the Patriots and he's beat up on bad teams. Because Justin Jefferson is just that good.
He's going to get his.
There are not a lot of answers that you're going to have for a guy like that.
And I think if we're all being honest, we all understand the Patriots don't have an answer for that kind of guy.
9 for 139 and a score could have been a hell of a lot worse. And again, he made plays where there was some coverage on him.
At
times he ran by guys, and at times he was winning a battle against John Jones.
But are you surprised?
Not at all.
You don't have a number one corner.
No.
I might argue you don't have a number two corner.
And for as good as he was, I would dare say you could find 3 or 4 other instances in the game that were just as big or bigger than that in terms of swaying the game one way or another, like a penalty or a kickoff return for a touchdown and things like that. Like, Justin Jefferson did what we thought he would do, Hart. You're right.
And the back end of the Patriots defense probably is what we think it is. Like, it's competitive, it's veteran, it's going to be well coached, they're going to be multiple. And no, they do not have a Stephon Gilmore. They do not even have a J.C. Jackson. They don't have whatever you want to call a number one corner in this day and age.
And those guys would have had issue because the real dirty secret of the Patriots offense, people look on the back end and say, look at all the numbers. Well, where was the pass rush?
Right.
And that's where we will start the final hour of Gresh and Keefe with Hart in for Keefe next.